So the picture is that in the last days, and we're in them, that there's an oracle of truth. There's a place where life and truth come. That place is the Spirit of God, just FYI. And it says, and then many peoples will come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of our God. And he will teach us of his ways. And we will walk in his paths. You see, here's the promise and here's the birthright. The birthright is victory. And the birthright is we get to have all his ways. He will lead us in the ways of God. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. Larry encourages us to be connected and Keith encourages us to address and deal with the fact that there's stuff that would come against us, but it's from God. And in Larry's model, you know, when there's more power going through that connection, you need to have a better connection. Yeah, you need that connection to be more solid. And he will teach us of his ways. And we will walk in his paths. Back to Psalm 27. Somebody look it up for me, because I can't quite quote it. It's almost there. Teach me of your ways, O God. Teach your ways. I'm going to wait. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Because of my foes. Because of my foes. See, what we're saying is we need to be allowing the honing to happen because of the foes. Now, he's got greater foes for us to dispense with and deal with than we can imagine dealing with right now. But that's why he's exposing, you know, a little bit of, you know, not quite well-connected wiring in our life. Why? So that we can lean on him. Teach me of your ways. Did you know that you have the right by the Holy Spirit of God to expect that he will teach you his ways? Did you know that you have the right and maybe even responsibility to expect that the Spirit of God will lead you into all truth? Did you know that you can settle for less, but why would you? Did you know that only you get to choose whether you settle for less? You see, teach me your ways is an infinite path. And Father is patient but urgent about you being on that path. Do you want to know why? Do you want to know why Father is both patient and urgent? He's patient because he's determined that you're going to get everything that you can get. And he's urgent because he's determined that you're going to get everything you can get. Do you understand me? He's patient because if it requires patience, he'll be there waiting and waiting and waiting. And he's urgent because he wants more for you. He's there to give you everything, everything that he can possibly give you. He desires that.
His patience and his urgency have the same motivation and direction.
Yes. Same motivation, same direction. He's patient because he's going to get everything he can for you. He's urgent because he's going to get everything he can for you. His goodness means that he's patient, and his goodness means that he's urgent. So let's say it together. You ready? Teach me your ways, O God. Teach me your ways, O God. Because of my enemies.
Because of my enemies.
Teach me your ways, O God.
Teach me your ways, O God.
Because of your goodness.
Because of your goodness.
Teach me your ways, O God. I will walk in your paths. You will teach me your ways. You want to teach me your ways because you're so good. And I will learn. And I will walk with you. In Jesus' name. Let me just say to you, don't settle for less than the Spirit of God leading you into all truth. Did you hear what I just said? Don't settle for less. Spirit of God will use maybe me, maybe Larry, somebody else, possibly. That's all good. But don't settle for anything less than the Spirit of God personally leading you into all truth. That's our mechanism, one of them, for victory. Don't settle for anything less.
Keith mentioned that earlier that David wasn't lacking in knowledge. He'd been around a bit. He knew the Lord. He was a man after God's own heart. And yet he's the one that's saying, teach me thy ways, O God. Is there anything else you wanted to comment on that? That's why he was a man after God's own heart, because he was saying, teach me thy ways. Didn't quit on the job. And you had something to say, too, but I've lost it now.
When we were talking about the static and the bad connection, the Lord started talking to me about how, so I have a heart that wants to speak God's words, and I want to do it in power, but if I'm not completely connected, what I end up doing is being an annoyance with my words, which actually makes people turn away from the Lord. There's no, even though I might have a little bit of power, all I'm doing is annoying them. And then what I do is I become the enemy then of God, because I'm turning his kids away. And that's why the Lord is calling us to being completely connected.
All right, we're going to have Dad speak to us in just a moment, but I wanted to take just a few moments to come together in prayer for some needs. And so just give you quick updates. Many of you know that my brother Dave was in the hospital with a blood clot in his lung, and he is home. That's good news, and he is healing, but there's a lot of healing yet to go. So I'd encourage your prayers for him. We'll pray together now. Some of you know that Joe Vito's in the hospital with some pretty severe intestinal issues. And she could use our prayer too. I don't think that the doctors really have much of a clue about what's going on with her, to be honest with you. I don't think that they've got a clue. And so we need a breakthrough in that regard. Another area that I would like to just have us pray, Suzanne is headed off with a team to Sandy Hook to address some issues on the ground there. And so I'd like to just cover the team. And Mr. Chase is probably still in the hospital. Last I knew, he was still in the hospital, and lots of issues over there, health issues there. And Justice Frangipane. I don't know if you guys are connected with Frangipane, but his son Justice was in an accident this last week that ended up crushing his neck, I believe, some vertebrae in his neck, and he's currently a head injury, and so currently paraplegic. Is that correct? Currently, they've got him in induced coma. Okay, so just like to pray for them as well. And we've got a food pantry this week. Is that correct? Is that right? So let's just stream that. Okay, and if somebody has something they want to wave at me and want to throw in, that's good. But let's just go after these things. Okay. Father, we are grateful that we can trust you, that your goodness will prevail in every one of these things. We can trust you, and we do. We choose to trust you. We put our expectations on your goodness. We can see the difficulties, Lord, easily, but we choose to focus on you, and we choose to focus on your goodness. Thank you that you are a joyful God that joyfully gives goodness to us, and we believe you. So we declare your goodness over David. We thank you, Lord, that you are releasing, even now, even in this time, you are releasing grace to him, healing to him. You are also releasing his destiny and his calling to him. And over him and over his generations, we declare that your blessing will come forth out of this time. And we speak wholeness and health to that man of God in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for Jill, and we declare your grace, your mercy, and your calling is coming forth in her. We declare and we speak to that body. We decree to that body, come into order in the name of Jesus. Come into alignment with the kingdom of God. Wholeness come forth in Jesus' name. We release healing and blessing. Lord, I speak confidence into that woman. I just declare and decree faith and confidence into her as she goes through this very difficult time. I bless her. And Lord, I bless the generations that you have, the kingdom generations through her as well, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for Suzanne and the team that's going with her. Lord, I just pray for a spirit of revelation to just go with them. There would be a release of your grace and healing and forgiveness in and through this nation, through their work. I bless them. Pray for your keeping over them in Jesus' name. Lord, we hold up before you this family, the Frangipane family, with gratitude, with much, much, much gratitude for who they are and who they've been to the body of Christ. We release your blessing into them. We declare your goodness over them. We stand with them in looking to see your goodness come out of this difficult, apparent tragedy. Lord, we just need to see your goodness. And so we ask you to release your goodness into the Frangipane family. Lord, we pray for faith and strength and courage, for energy. But also, Lord, we pray that in the name of Jesus, we stand in the gap for them, and we call off the dogs that would take this moment to attack and to discourage and to dissuade, and we release your courage and your blessing over them in the name of Jesus. And we speak healing to Justice. Lord, meet with him. Lord, you are not submitted to comas. Comas submit to you. And so we bless him with spiritual interactions even right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for your purposes for Richard Chase. And we declare that your purposes will go forward, that your kingdom purposes that you have decided to accomplish for him, that they will go forward. We stand in the gap for him, for his life, for his salvation, for his legacy. Lord, we declare that there's a legacy coming out of that man, a legacy for your purposes, for your kingdom. And we just stand firm there. We will not give that up. We will not cede that territory. we declare that it is kingdom territory, period. Lord, I'm grateful to you for the opportunity to minister to many. Thank you for Patrick and the ministry that's been going forward to him and to those around him. We release even watering over the seeds that Paulo was sowing yesterday, the day before, and release your grace into those situations. Lord, just we pray for an encouragement into Patrick that he would actually begin to proclaim that there would be a release of your word through his lips, that he would begin to proclaim the excellencies of you, and that there would be a release of life, not just into him, but through him into his world, in Jesus' name. Lord, we also just ask for your grace to come upon us as we work toward this coming Thursday, and release blessing into those around us. Lord, help us to be yet more effective in releasing your kingdom and your power, we pray in Jesus' name. Lord, we are grateful to you for the Campbell clan. Thank you for Kathy, and thank you for Charity, and thank you, Lord, for Melody and Nate and Rob and the whole gang. And Lord, we need some breakthrough for them. Lord, we're just desperate right now for breakthrough for them. We pray that you administer your peace to Kathy's heart. We pray that you administer your sight, that she would see and know what you are about. Lord, sometimes when we wait for so long, we don't even understand. But I pray that you would release understanding to Kathy and to Charity and to the whole gang as they wait on you. And Lord, we stand and we demand a release of your glory, a release of your presence, a release of the callings for each member of that family. Lord, we declare that this will not prevent your kingdom from going forth. Your kingdom come in and through the Campbell family. Your will be done in and through the Campbell family. We declare it. We refuse every discouraging thought and perspective from the enemy. We choose to believe you. We bless them in Jesus' name. And we stand with them in the name of Jesus.
Right now, we would like to pray for Dave Osborne. Domine natum dignus, ut in tre septectum meum. Satantum dic verbo et sinabitur anima mea. Amen.
I'd like us just to recognize some reality here that we've talked about this morning. Just want to talk about it again. That in the middle of everything, God is at work for something significantly good beyond what, you know, his. And so in each one of these cases, really think about the Campbells. In the middle of that, God is up to something. We say, have your way, God. We talk about the Frangipane family. Have your way, God. We believe that you are up to something good. The enemy does his thing. Now we say, you play the trump cards. In terms of Dave, young Dave Osborne, and the Big Dave's lung thing, you're up to something good. We say, release that something good in Jesus' name. In the, I've forgotten the guy's name, Patrick, in that life, something good. In the midst of his disaster and hopelessness, God stepped into the middle of that. We declare something good coming out of that. I'm missing one. What was the one I missed? Mr. Chase, Richard Chase. We say that in this hour of weakness, where hope is hanging on the wall, we just say something good. We release the purposes of God in the middle of that mess in Jesus' name. And Jill, Lord, we thank you that you are at work in Jill, and you will accomplish the something good that you have for her. We declare it this morning. That's what we believe, and we declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. Paula, would you like to share a little bit about the where we go with Patrick?
Oh, yes. So I did go and spend time with him yesterday, and I guess it's pretty simple what I have to share. He didn't have much time. They have them really busy over there, and it was his birthday yesterday, so I had brought him a few things. And he had on some of his new clothes. He told me he had thrown out all his other clothes, which were hardly any. And he told me it's the first time in probably 15-plus years that he's had comfortable shoes to wear. And he said he feels like a new person. And he looked like a new person. And I had given him a little bit of cash because they have a store there. And the first thing he said was, oh, I can get my hair cut. Well, I'll tell you, he went from this person over there in that apartment. You can just picture, you know, in your mind. I mean, and like this, like every time I would go and see him there, he's just hunched over a little, whatever. Yesterday, he was sitting up straight. His head was high. He looked, and he's talking like so friendly with the people around him. And I could just go on, but I had this great plan. You know, I had all these things ready to say. I mean, I had this prophetic word for him that came forth yesterday. And I was going to share with him, really get into some deep things of God. But God had a different plan. Everything in his timing. We just have to go with his timing. And right now, things are just looking beautifully. And he said again to thank everyone at your church for me. But I'd like to also share something that I believe that God showed me. I think he did on the way there yesterday. I always cover everything hugely in prayer because, like, all the points going forth this morning, we have got to be tucked in with God so right with the Holy Spirit. And, I mean, I don't even let my mind go anywhere else. Every time I, like, go see him or go to any ministry, I'm just praying the whole time. And somebody could tell me, but I think this is what the Lord showed me. I had asked him if he needed anything else, you know, I could pick up anything for you on the way. I said, and I know he likes coffee. I said, would you like a coffee? He goes, sure. So I said, I'm going to spoil him. I got a Starbucks. I go into Starbucks in Candegua, and I saw a couple people there that I knew. And when I left there, my mind was just going, like, just all over the place and all, you know. I was really distracted, but I didn't realize at the time. I was very distracted now looking back. I go to leave the mall or the plaza, whatever it was, and it's a 4-lane highway, and the car is going that way. We're stopped. We had a green light, and I went to pull out, and I would have had to go, you know, straight across to take a left, and the Holy Spirit, I am not kidding you, put my foot on my brake. The thought didn't come till after my foot went on the brake. But right when I did that, I noticed, oh, the car's going to turn right, weren't moving. Like, why are they sitting there? We have a green light. And in that second, a cop flew through the intersection. Now, I hadn't seen him. And I felt like the Lord, I mean, he protected me. He was right there with me. I was on mission. His reckless love was right there with me. I felt like this little thing in my spirit. We so purposely have to. For me, I'm very serious. So this just hit me as a word from the Lord. We, as pastors were saying earlier, we have to be more serious than we even think we need to be about keeping ourselves tuned in, not letting these distractions, thoughts, you know, just running rampant. I don't, that's just what I thought I would share.
I have a quick little thank you from that I want to say too, and that is, as you guys probably know, Doris has been doing these trainings in Kenya, and she just had a 3-dayer this last week, and it went really well, and she was very excited, and she had talked to me on the second day, and I was telling her how important it was to me that we branch out and not just do single denomination trainings, but that we really work to get more than one denomination working. I don't like religious control. I don't like the monolithic religious thing that so often happens. And so it was important to me. Let's go find Courtney, please. Time to go find Courtney. She had said, yeah, you know, most of them just want to do their own thing. And so then we have multiple churches coming together, but all of the same denominational, you know, root, because there's such control. I'm afraid to have, you know, my people meet with other people because who knows, they might get lost to me or my control. Okay. And I hate that whole mentality. Anyway, so I sent it out just to a few people to pray. And less than 24 hours later, she texted me back, and I'll read you just a piece of the report that she sent to me, just because it's such an encouraging piece. She said, "The last day ended well. Glory to our Father. Teachers, pastors, and the bishop were very excited. Thanks for your prayers. Pastors said that the teachings are too good to keep to themselves alone. They said that they will inform other nearby churches who are from different denominations. I thank God for that. I didn't influence, but you know, it's our prayer." And so they're organizing another training. Okay, so there was like a step one training and then a step two training kind of deal. And so they're organizing another step one training to invite other regional churches into the step one training so that they can do the next thing all together in step two. So I don't know, just very, very blessed. And to see the rapid turnaround of that is just I'm grateful. That's all. I just can only be grateful. Really, really happy about that. So anyway, God is good.
Really? Maybe.
Over here, huh? It's a deal. We'll get them rightly connected.
Everybody ought to be rightly connected. Be a good idea. I'm going to talk to you for just a minute, and then we're going to do something together. The 1 minute talk is the best teaching is experiential, not just all book learning and then get a paper to hang on the wall and then go try to make it work. There's an essential reality of making the things work while we're learning. And so this morning I'd like us to work while we're learning. In your bulletin, don't look at it now. In your bulletin, there is a very significant and important item that you should read. And we don't have time to get through it this morning, but it basically talks about the mystery of God, the mystery of godliness, the mystery of the gospel. And the mystery is Christ. Initially, it is the mystery of Christ himself, and then the mystery of Christ in you. Now, you may think that's a lot of mystery, and I'm telling you something that is a very significant thing to read and consider. The mystery of God is Christ. God in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. God, Christ in you, the mystery. I would challenge you to read it. In Galatians, Paul actually says, if anybody teaches you anything else, let him be accursed. Other than the gospel and the mystery of the gospel, when you take it away from Christ into something else, Paul said twice, let him be accursed. That's all in the bulletin. You can read it later.
And it's in the Bible, by the way, which is referenced in the bulletin. Now I'm going to talk to you, change the subject. Ready? In Romans, Paul said, if I do speak in tongues of men and angels and have not love, zip. And eventually he lines it down to, if I give my body to sell all my possessions and give to the poor and give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. A moment ago, Jocelyn was saying, sometimes we can actually work against what God's doing, and the difficulty would be, are we being motivated by love? Is it the love of God that's being released? And it could be released in a million different ways, but it is the motivation of the love of God. Is it the mystery of the gospel being released? Is it the mystery which is Christ in you being released? Is it the love of God, which is the mystery of God in Christ being released through you? Are you with me? Do you catch the drift? It only takes a smidgen of a second to move from the mystery to religion. Anyways, that's the hour-long message done in 5 minutes. And you say, well, it's too much to grapple in 5 minutes. And I'll tell you this. If you're interested in the mystery of the gospel, if you're interested in the mysteries of God as expressed in Jesus Christ, he'll reveal it to you himself. You don't need me. But I would challenge you to pursue the mystery.
That's right.
It was so important to Paul that he said, if anybody teaches you anything else other than this, let him be accursed. And having said it once, he said, and I say it again. Well, that's pretty cruel, pretty nasty. But he had something that was a very significant concern, where the church was being drawn away from the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay. Now we go back to the other subject. If I sell all my possessions and give it to the poor and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. If I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. As Jocelyn pointed out, it can even be detrimental to the message of the gospel. I'd like us to have communion this morning, and I'd like to start with the normal way of doing it, which is to receives the bread. And I'd like you to come forward to receive the bread. And then we're going to go back to our seats to receive the blood. So would you come right now? Come forward and we'll receive the bread. And in a bit, we'll receive the blood. Jesus said to his disciples, on the night that he was betrayed, this is my body, which is given for you. Let me just say this, that even that is a mystery. He took bread and he said, this is my body. What's the mystery here? It's bigger than a piece of bread going into a physical body. It's bigger than that. That's the mystery. It is the life of God being released into his people. And it's the life of God. God was in Christ.
And it's Christ in you that's the hope of glory. And so, this morning, Lord, as we reach to take the body and blood of Jesus Christ, we reach beyond the elements to receive the one who gave himself that we might have life. I pray that you would reveal mystery to us today, individually. Are you willing to receive a new understanding of the mystery? I want to just say this about the mystery. Having told you what the mystery is, you don't know what the mystery is. I'm serious. You can begin to look, know where to look, but the mystery will take you eternity to unravel. And his invitation is that you unravel it. Nate and Courtney, would you come and help distribute this? Father, I thank you for the elements that we will receive this morning. And I pray that each one of us who receive will receive an opening of our hearts and minds to the mystery of God. In Jesus' name. Lee? Start right in the middle or someplace. One of the things that is spoken of in Scripture is as you receive, let a man examine himself. And it actually says, let a man examine himself. So, men, you better examine yourself. But I suspect women could also examine themselves before you receive. And just say, okay, God, here I come. May the work of the Spirit and the power of the blood be exercised in me. In Jesus' name, cleanse me and purify me and release your grace into me. Would you just agree that in Jesus' name? We do open our hearts to be cleansed by the power of your blood. In Jesus' name. We examine ourselves and say, oh dear, let your mercy and grace be extended to me in Jesus' name. And Jesus said, this is my body which is given for you, freely given for you, because I love you. I give it to you. Take and eat. Before you are seated, I'd like you to come and receive. Take a cup and take it back to your seat and hold it until we have a chance to talk about what we're doing here. Would you come and receive a cup and take it to your seat and just wait a second. Come and receive. Earlier we talked about if I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love, it profiteth me nothing.
If I sell all my possessions, give to the poor, have not love, profit me nothing. If I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. This morning I'd like us to receive this. And we're going to do it three times. I think we have enough cups, but maybe not. I maybe have underestimated. But I'd like to receive the cup three times. And we're going to take a little bit of time to do it. I'll tell you what the three times are. The first time, may the resident mysterious guest live in Savior, manifest his love to the people I like, the people I'm comfortable with. The second time we're going to do it, Father, may the resident Savior manifest his love through me to the people that I'm uncomfortable with. I don't hate them. I just don't. We don't really connect. And the third cup, if you dare to go there, may the resident Savior and Lord manifest his love through me to the people that I don't like. I'm not just uncomfortable with, the people I don't like, the people that I hate, even my enemies. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? I want to get real. And I want to say, God, you see, the thing about love is not that he didn't just say, don't hate your enemy. He says, love your enemy. He says, love one another the way I have loved you. You see, this mystery is God, who is love, was in Christ reconciling himself to the world to himself. And that resident one, who the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of godliness, the mystery is Christ in you. And I will tell you that the Christ in you not only likes and loves the people you like, he loves the people that you are uncomfortable with. And he would like to love through you to the people that you're uncomfortable with. He would like to love through you to the people that you really don't like or even hate. So we're going to start with the easy one, I think, relatively easy. Lord, as I receive this, give me a heart to really love the people that I like. Are you with me? You see, even the people you like could benefit from the love of God in dimensions you have yet to show. Are you with me? So I could get mine too, you know. Jesus said, this is the blood of the new covenant. I want you to, I had so much to share this morning, I hate to skip this part. The old covenant, when the old covenant was being given, do you remember what the people's response was? When Moses goes up the mountain, thunder and lightning, and do you remember what the response was? You go, we don't even want to get close. We don't want to hear it. You go, you find out what he's saying, and we'll do it. The response was fear. The new covenant. Jesus said, and this is the part I skipped earlier, but I want you to hear this. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. It isn't fear. It's love.
It isn't fear, it is love. Oh, I feel like I cheated you by not... Let me just read you something. Please, it's worth hearing this. I'll let you have the sheet later if you want it, but I just want you to hear this. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. All who love me will do what I say. And then verse 31, these are all in chapter 14 of John. Jesus says, I will do what the Father requires of me so that the world will know what? That I love the Father. You see, even Jesus was operative or driven by love. I'll read it again. This is John 14, verse 31. I will do what the Father requires of me so that the world will know that I love the Father. The focus of the live-in Savior is to release the love of the Father. And in the releasing of the love of the Father, we will keep his commandments. And I just want to say this. Please, I realize him, but get this. It is what he is speaking and doing in the now that he's talking about. He's not saying, go back 75 years and figure out what I said then. It's what he's saying and doing now. The love of the Father is being expressed in Christ by the mysterious presence in his body in the now. And he'd like to declare his love to the people you like in the now. Would you dare say, I would like to express the love of God to the people I like in the now? Father, so work in our hearts as the indwelling Savior and Lord that your love will be expressed in the now to the people we like. May they discover the love of God in a new dimension through us. And Lord, in that regard, we speak blessing into them today, in the now, through Jesus Christ our Lord. People say amen.
Amen.
Take and drink. Could use a couple of helpers. Keith and Diane, would you come? And is there somebody else you need? Larry, we're going to hand out. I think that we'll hand out one cup, and we're going to have to split it. We're going to do it two times with one cup. So, if you get a big mouth like mine, take two. All right, go ahead, hand it out among the people. Lee, go ahead and take this. And as we approach to take the second cup, I'd like us to be expecting that the resident Savior and Lord who carries the love of God within him has ways and means of loving the people you're uncomfortable with that you have not learned yet. Can you imagine? Stay with me for a moment. Let's just say that I'm uncomfortable with Jocelyn. Can you imagine Jesus being uncomfortable with Jocelyn?
No.
Why not? I mean, she's goofy. His love carries the day. And while I might be uncomfortable with Jocelyn, Jesus is not. He has enough overwhelming love to touch Jocelyn. And the mystery of the gospel is that he lives inside of me. The one that has enough love to love even Jocelyn. So my uncomfortableness is my problem, not his. Is that true? He's not lacking in love. What do you want to say? No, no, we don't want to hear from you. Go ahead. We'll have to get close.
So we were discussing about there was somebody that my son was feeling felt arrogant toward everybody. And
this other person did.
This other person.
How many of you know that when you look at somebody that looks arrogant or acts arrogant, it's difficult? You kind of want to back away. Not just Larry.
So we were talking about, you know, how smart he was. And I said, you know, some people are so smart that they think we're boring. Seriously, we're boring. We do not excite them because our intelligence isn't there. And I could see it in some people that I have a problem with because they're very slow and you have to tell them the same thing over and over again. And so to those people, it may feel like I'm being arrogant with them because I can't do this the 12th time. I'm done, you know. But
do you swear Jesus would be done?
No, and that was the thing we were talking about was I have a problem. I need to learn how to love people like that.
So it's not just being uncomfortable with them. It's a variety of things. Their pride, their arrogance, their nastiness, their tendency to do nasties. We just soon avoid it. Don't answer this question, but I'll ask it. You ever been in the store and look down the aisle and up comes Mr. Jones, who is a real pain in the butt, and you think, I don't need to go down that aisle. I'll go down this aisle. I'll get that aisle later. You never did that. Okay, good. Neither did I. I just made it up. Whoops, I'm in church, and I don't lie in church, right? Do you suppose that the love of Jesus, which dwells in us, is big enough to love people that make us uncomfortable? Now, I think he is. And so I'd like you to drink half your cup. And we reserve the last half for the people you hate. Maybe you should drink the whole cup for the people you hate. But half a cup. And the prayer here is, Father, may the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, who dwells within me, be big enough to touch the people that I feel awkward with, to soon avoid. Help me to love them the way you love them. I receive this today. And in receiving it, I receive your love, a new portion, a new flow of your love to touch the people that I find awkward to reach and touch, be related to. I ask it in Jesus' name. Take and drink half of it. Now, if I was a religious person, I would say, now, go out and do better. I'm not a religious person. I'm a Christian. And the instruction of the Christian is, from a Christian to a Christian is, go out with the expectation that he goes with you and he will have things to do that previously you were uncomfortable with. And you'll say to him, all right, here we go. I see Joe coming up the aisle there. How do I respond?
And even before I get there, Father, may the love of God reach out and touch him. Do your work in him and in me. I'm willing, Father, to be an expresser of your love to the people that cause me to be uncomfortable. I'm willing. Show me when, how, and where. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm honest. Show me when, how, and where. And I'll go there. Can you go that far? Because you see, the truth is, he is at work within us, both to will and to do his good pleasure. And we believe that. Concerning the people we like and the people that we find it awkward to relate to. And finally, to the people we don't like and maybe we hate. Or we wouldn't say that. We just don't love. If we were honest, we might say it's a little bit more strong than that. And I'd like us to say, Father, may the one who dwells within me find ways to express your love through me, even to the people I don't like. Now I'm going to make a confession before we go any further. Early this week, long before I even thought about this event, I began praying these prayers over me. And I was just doing it because, you know, the one inside of me was nudging me in that direction. And so I did it. And again yesterday, I did it again. And on one occasion, I went by someone who I had found difficult to connect with, and I remembered that I had determined that I wanted to be an expresser of his love. And while I didn't see the person, you know, face to face, I released a blessing in that direction. I have made up my mind that God's love is big enough to even love that creep. I mean, that, do you understand what I'm saying? And then this morning, I realized that it was time to do something more and to lead you in a similar fashion. But it didn't lead this morning. It started last week before I knew that I was going to lead anybody. And so I would just challenge you this morning, as you take the drink, the last half of the cup, that you would say, Lord, work in me the grace that will forgive and love and reach over the top and bless and heal and deliver your grace into the people in my world. Jesus said, this is my blood, which is shed for the remission of the sins of many, including your enemies. Take and drink. And so, Lord, here we are. We celebrated that Last Supper together. We know that you came to express the love of your Father. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And we know that according to the mystery of the gospel, it is Christ in you that is the hope of glory. And so we release you, Lord Jesus, to live your life in us, to love in this day through us, through your children, to manifest the presence of the living God in a dark and weary world. We open our hearts. We open our minds. we open opportunities to release love and blessing, hope and life, healing and eternity into our world. We invite you to live through us, love through us, and may your kingdom be accomplished through us, we pray. And all the people said, amen. Go and love somebody. We often take up a benevolence offering on the Sundays that we have communion. And if you have something that would be to give to others as an expression of love, you just put that on the communion table here. That will be the location for receiving benevolence, releasing the love of God into the lives of those that need. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a wonderful week in the Lord. I would remind you to read the note in the bulletin. Also, there's some sheets that have the scriptures that related to the morning message that you didn't get here if you want them.